We'll begin. As the basis of our devotion this morning, we hear God's Word contained, written for us in Romans 14. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. We have a custom in our church, and I think other churches do this as well. When confirmation comes around, someone in your family will get you your confirmation Bible with your name engraved. This happens to be the Bible of my daughter, Rebecca. I believe her grandparents were the ones who arranged that for her to have this very important book identified with her as her property. Perhaps you do this with other things that you own. You write your name on it. If it's yours, you might as well let the world know so that they respect your property too. We do this even with people, in a way. A child's born in the family, and the parents give that child their last name. Well, in our text, Jesus has done this very thing. He has labeled us as his own because he paid the ultimate price of ownership. Not money exchanging hands. Not a transaction through eBay. No, he died and rose and lived again that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Now, as far as you're concerned, that means that Jesus is not just the Savior of you, but the Lord of you. Let's think about that today. Consider what that really means to have Jesus as your Lord. It's a relationship. You participate in that relationship by letting Jesus be in charge all the time, in every way. This is something that your faith will want and embrace. You won't fight him for control. If you did, that would be your flesh at work. You let him take charge of, it's quite a list, your values, your priorities, your plans, both short-term and long-term, your habits, plus your attitude and behavior toward those in authority over you, like a dorm parent or the government, plus your attitude and behavior toward your fellow Christians of all ages, and your attitude and behavior toward everyone else in this world, and the list goes on. Now realize, with Jesus in charge, it will never be something oppressive. He's not going to be a dictator who forces people to do his bidding. Certainly the Lord is controlling how things go with us, including our thoughts, words, and actions. You find that in the Bible, his commandments. Certainly he lays out in very clear terms a moral, God-pleasing lifestyle for us that goes against the course of this world. It even goes against our human nature. A big reason why we continue to sin against him, our Lord. However, Jesus, in that situation of our sins against him, does not act like a typical king or an American employer would. No, he doesn't fire us because of our disobedience, though he'd certainly deserve something like that. He does not imprison you and me for our crimes against him, though we would deserve something like that. He reasserts his lordship by calling us to repent by leading us to confess our sins and then pronouncing his decisive decree of forgiveness, which he purchased with his own blood. And that, I hope you will agree, puts him in this category of the most unique king, the absolute best boss, the greatest Lord a person could possibly have. Jesus is more than Lord of your worldview and Lord of your conduct as Christians. He is also Lord of all the things you have to face, including the difficult things. He is Lord of your problems and also your blessings. He is Lord of your health and your wealth. Therefore, we can expect him to act accordingly, to use his controlling power according to all those promises we have in the Bible. We expect that based on this great commitment from God, what we hear in Romans 8. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Take it back to the cross of Christ. The sacrifice Jesus made for you is all the proof we need that he will keep us his property, his people, in good condition. He will, because of that investment, provide whatever we need, food and clothing, protection and safety, healing and recovery, if that's his will, family and friends, comfort and strength, whatever it is that we need. And also, he will determine down to the second how many days and years we spend down here, how many years and days we serve him in this world, when exactly it will be that we move to a much better location with him in his heavenly realm. What Paul wrote in Romans 14, let's make it our mantra. If we live, we live to our Lord. If we die to our Lord. Either way, we don't lose because he won't lose. Either way, whatever we face, it's all good, as they say. It's in his capable hands at all times, governed by his grace. And so we go to our God with both a carefulness about those against us, but also a confidence toward the one in charge. We pray. Keep us, Lord, always as your own, by the power of the Spirit working through your word in our hearts and minds. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning singing stanzas 3, 4, and 5 of hymn 338. Hymn 338, stanzas 3, 4, and 5.